fasten your seatbelts, get the tissues ready, and polish up those dancing shoes. We're going down musical memory lane with me, Monique Chambers, and a bunch of guests that have got really eclectic taste. Welcome to this week's Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Herman Grech, who's the editor-in-chief of The Times of Malta. Now, I'm glad I got you, because actually when I dreamt up this series, you are the first person I wanted to invite, because I know you had this... Well, you have this sort of Bowie thing.
Bowie thing?
Yeah, and I kind of really wanted to play Bowie.
It's a good excuse to get Bowie on.
Yeah, well, I just thought you'd have an interesting...
It doesn't get much airplay.
And not just that, you'd have an interesting story because of your job. There would have been certain times and places and milestones that maybe were reflected in your music choices. But actually, going down the list, there's quite an eclectic mix. But they all have something in common, which is they're all quite long. Where do you find the time to listen to these things?
I don't. In fact, if you go through my top 10 list or so, whereabouts, they're probably all dating back to the 70s and 80s and 90s. There's nothing from the last 20 years. But because probably in the last 10, 20 years, I didn't have much time to actually listen to much music. Or else I just keep playing the same songs on loop. But most of the time, I actually listen to these songs in the car. Uh-huh. Whenever I can just go for a walk. And just forget about the ugly world out there.
Yes, no, it's not a very pretty place, but some of these have got some really beautiful lyrics, actually. We're going to start with Bowie. You know, because he's top of the list, and he was in there a couple of other times as well. And this is Hero. So what's this one? What does it mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, to start off with, Bowie is a bit like a religion in my family. I was indoctrinated by my older brother, who just gave me a cassette tape at the time and said, listen to this. But in reality, probably Bowie's Heroes especially was the one song I remember him playing loud in my parents' house at the time. And it's so powerful. Bowie's voice in this particular song is so strong. I mean, the one reason I always had this almost infatuation with Bowie is the way he changed along the years. Now, at the time, I was still young to really understand what he really stood for. But as I grew older, I realized that we're talking about a chameleon here. Mm-hmm. Who started with this, mod era, went into glam rock, went soul, became somewhere very weird in the late 70s with his Berlin era, went disco and straight rock. He did it
everything,
all.
Uh-huh.
And probably the song Heroes probably encapsulates all that he stood for. And he also, the lyrics, I find the lyrics very, very strong. You know, when you're talking about writing a song with the lyrics, we can be heroes just for one day, automatically that fitted in so many eras in our history. You know, when we're talking about Live Aid, he was singing there Live Aid, and it was We Really Can Be Heroes for one day. And then he did the 9/11 tribute concert, and it's about people donating and people doing good things. Mm-hmm. And I think this song, even though there are so many interpretations of what he really means by the song, I really just think it sums up Bowie for the genius he was.
But you're right, that just that line, even if you don't know the rest of the song,
yeah,
it does sort of resonate with you that you can do one small thing and actually make a whole load of difference. And
absolutely,
whether it's donating, standing up, changing one thing that you do in your life just for one day, it does have an impact,
yeah,
on other situations. So we're going to listen to the whole thing. This is Heroes by David Bowie.
Though nothing will keep us together, we can beat them forever and ever. Oh, we can be heroes just for one day. We'll be right back.
I was surprised to see George Michael on your list. He's been on a number of guests' lists, but I didn't expect it from you. I don't know why. I love George Michael, but...
I didn't expect it from me either. And when I look back on the songs, you know, when you prepare these compilations on Spotify, obviously, mm-hmm. the song in particular, Praying for Time, always crops up. And there's a good reason. I remember it happened with my... sharing the moment with my flatmate who had the album called Listen Without Prejudice. Now, I was prejudiced against George Michael because of what he did during his Wham days. But when I listened to the album Listen Without Prejudice, it's all in the title. You just listen to the song. It's one beautiful song after the other. And it's the first time I actually start saying, that's a good voice. Mm. Oh, these lyrics make sense. And not even about him. When you think about Listen Without Prejudice, he didn't appear anywhere on the album cover and all that. And suddenly it was like a coming-of-age album. And the song Praying for Time, again, when you listen to the lyrics, it's all about his disappointment with society, that we can do good and that we fail to do so. Mm. And when there's a beautiful line in that song called Charity is a coat you wear twice a year. And it really makes you think about the way we look at charity, you know, mm-hmm. the way our idea of doing good is just by donating something on Listrina every Christmas, which for me is pathetic. You know, it's about trying to do good every day to your next door neighbor, to the people out there, to stop spouting rubbish on Facebook and all that. And I think this song especially has this beautiful crescendo where George Michael is just, his voice really, you know, comes to life. And since that time, I stopped, you know, listening to the way I used to listen to George Michael, and I stopped all my prejudices, and I said, my goodness, this guy has a really good voice. I mean, I wasn't a fan along the years, but his voice is really something.
But there are sometimes with artists, you know, they have to get popular to be able to get into other people's heads. And if you think when he started, Spotify wasn't a thing. You know, it was still vinyls.
Exactly.
So you had to do the thing that sold, that made you money, mm-hmm. that, you know, got you the T-shirts, that were able to give you the concerts to be able to do more of this experimental and more honest stuff. So you really do have to give people like him a break.
Yes, of course. I mean, sometimes, you know, we just say, okay, fine, he's commercial, but doesn't mean because he's commercial, he is bad. And what I like is that this was definitely not a commercial album. I mean, it's totally mellow, apart from one song on the album, but this song, Praying for Time, you know, just listen to the lyrics. It's important for us to understand what he's trying to say.
Well, we'll do as we're told. We're going to have a listen to Praying for Time now by George, the gorgeous Michael. This is a great title for a song, Cornflake Girl. I had to listen to this morning because I know Tori Amos, you know, fabulous red hair, but I didn't know her stuff, really. She's not someone I would have normally listened to.
Very dark background. Ah. I remember Tori Amos was raped at gunpoint when she was young.
Okay.
Again, her first album, very dark, with so much meaning. There's even a song about that rape in her album called Me and the Gun. And it's astounding. Tori Amos has a bit of a story behind her, because I was always looking for a successor for Kate Bush. I was always a big fan of Kate Bush. Mm-hmm. And I said, who is this person? Will there ever be another Kate Bush? And I remember listening to this album. It was called Little Earthquakes. That was her debut album. And it just blew me away. But then, as it went along, I got into Cornflake, but there's a bit of a story behind it, because it reminds me of a train ride in Spain, where I believe it was from Seville to Barcelona, and we ended up cooped up in this really small cabin with about six other travelers. It was me and a couple of friends. It was just ridiculous, you know. There's no way it would be allowed these days to be put people stuffed like sardines in a cabin. And I remember listening on a Walkman that day, that of course a Walkman or a Discman probably, and listening to the album, the second album, Under the Pink, and we were listening especially to Cornflake Girl. I was with this girl I met on this train, mm-hmm. and it was just beautiful listening, going through Spain, mm-hmm. and just talking about music. And I remember talking about why Tori Amos is probably one of the best singers, I would say, to come out in the last 20, 30 years.
Uh-huh. And you still listen to her now?
I do.
Do you still buy albums, or do you download albums?
Listen to Spotify, but I got given recently an LP player.
Okay.
So I am starting recollecting vinyl, which I gave away about 20 years ago, and I now regret it, because I'm going to second-hand shops and buying old LPs, which probably belong to me one day.
I still have a lot of mine, because I thought, no, that will never be digitized. And I was never really into obscure music, but I did like sort of mod stuff.
Okay.
And quite cheesy Christmas stuff, it seems.
But,
I do have still a lot of my albums. But no, it's interesting to hear that you're going back to that. So this is Cornflake Girl by Tori Amos.
Never was a cornflake girl. Thought it was a good solution, hanging with the raisin girls. She's gone to the other side, giving us a yo-yo. Things are getting kind of gross, and I go a sleepy time. This is not really, this is not really happening. You bet your life. You bet your life it is. Honey, you bet your life. the other side. If my hands I could be here, there must have paid her a nice price. She's putting on a string of love. This is not really, this is not really how fun to hang. You bet your life it is.
Now, no surprise to see Queen on your list.
Of course.
No surprise at all. Mother Love, though.
I mean, I could have been boring, you know, and gone for Bohemian Rhapsody or We Are the Champions, you know. Obviously, Under Pressure was there because it matches Queen with Bowie, my favorite artist. But mm-hmm. In reality, I went for a song that I don't think it's ever gotten in any airplay.
Yeah,
but
I had to listen to
this is actually the very last song Freddie Mercury performed.
Okay.
And I got that it's got a meaning when I heard it. I mean, it shatters you because he's just talking about his death here, basically. But I got the true story again, memories. As a journalist, you know, sometimes you have to be careful about the people not interviewing your idols because they end up being real
disappointment.
Assholes.
Yes,
yeah. So I had interviewed Brian May before he played his concert in Malta. I remember going to Latvia and interviewing him. And the guy turned out to be one of the most amazing people. And we spent, interview him for half an hour, and we spent an hour and a half in his hot air room.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him to explain the story behind Mother Love.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff that came out of it about him writing the lyrics to the song. Freddie Mercury is about, you know, to die. It was just about the final lyrics were, I think, 2 or 3 weeks before he died. And he was just saying about how he discussed the song with him. And there's a particular crescendo in the song which you listen to that is terrifying almost. And to have that kind of voice, you know, just weeks before someone's death. And again, listening to Brian May narrate the story behind the song is pure genius. And again, Brian May, you know, we all celebrate Freddie Mercury for the amazing singer he was, but Brian May is probably one of the genius behind Queen when you think about it.
Okay, so let's have a listen to that and show some love, some mother love for Queen.
I don't want to sleep with you. I don't need the passion to. I don't want a stormy affair. Make me feel my life is heading somewhere. All I want is the comfort and care. Just to know that my woman gives me sweet mother love. Peace before I die.
REM. This was a band I never got into, and you've chosen Drive,
uh-huh.
which was quite a popular song of
is
theirs.
Is it? I didn't go for Everybody yeah. Hurts or Losing My Religion.
No, true, but because Drive is one that I'd heard of, but I just never really went into the REM scene. Why this one?
Again...
Because you like driving in Malta?
Not at all, but it reminds me of a particular period when probably in the mid, you know, early 90s when I moved out, you know, it reminds me of my bachelor days in reality, listening to this on with my flatmates. And I remember going to see them in Sicily, going to see REM in Sicily. There were loads of Maltese people. They had, you know, organized this catamaran.
Uh-huh.
And we were just, I mean, we got obviously, you know, at the time, there was a bit too much alcohol involved. But I remember this beautiful moment of Drive when even the video, it's Michael Stipe body surfing over people. And it's got this really strange feeling, this ethereal almost feeling of that I haven't heard in many REM songs. And at the time, in the 90s belonged to REM.
Mm.
And I think this is one, if I had to choose one song that I always, it's there in the background, but I always crank up the volume.
It's this one. So, sorry neighbours, but we're going to play this for you. Yeah,
go for it.
Again,
smash, crack, push, whack, tie another one to the racks. Rock and roll. Nobody tells you where to go, baby. What if I ride? What if you walk? What if you rock around the clock? Tip, 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 tip. What if you did? Nobody tells you what to do, baby. Hey, hey, kid, shake a leg. Maybe you're crazy in the head, baby. Maybe you did, maybe you walk, maybe you rocked around the clock.
Now, Kate Bush, you mentioned her before. I wanted to be her when I grew up as well. Man with the Child in His Eyes, you can just hear it. Her singing, it's a very, very short song, but really sticks with you.
Did you know she wrote the song at 13?
No
way!
She was
13 years old and recorded it when she was 16 years old.
Ouch.
Again, Kate Bush, like Bowie in My Family, was religion. It was, I think it was my sister who said, you know, stop it, you're not going to listen to pop. This is what you're going to listen to. And again, when you listen to Kate Bush, it's just got an amazing story, you know, and it is about the voice, but especially about the first album, The Kick Inside, which is perfect. If there are a few perfect albums, you know, along with Bowie's Low and Queen's Night at the Opera and the Achtung Baby by U2, I think, you know, the Man with the Child in His Eyes is a perfect album. And when you think that the song was written when she was just 13 years old.
Ah, it's insane.
It's insane.
Ah.
How? So again, it used to be, you know, the Greg family, it used to just be on constant loop along with We Are the Champions and the, you know, even Alice Cooper at the time. And imagine being hearing.
Glad I wasn't your neighbor.
Imagine hearing Alice Cooper, and then you hear Kate Bush. Mm. You know, I had a, you know, there's a good, how would you say, my family, I had good siblings, they had really good music taste, and obviously then I passed them on to my younger brother. So it really worked well. But this song especially, I mean, it's so simple when you think about it. And it is about, in reality, a girl falling in love with an older man, which is the story behind the story. And apparently it was about her falling in love for the first time. Beautiful song.
No, it is. So we're going to listen to it in its entirety because it's unfortunately a very, very short song, probably the shortest song on this list.
I hear him before I go to sleep and focus on the day that's been. I realize he's there and I turn the light off and turn over. Nobody knows about my man. They think he's lost on some horizon. And suddenly I find myself listening to a man I've never known before telling me about the sea.
I'm not sure I know how to say. Knights of Sidonia?
Knights of Sidonia.
Oh. Sidonia, okay.
Don't tell me you never heard the song. No, okay. again, Muse are queen for the 21st century.
Okay.
You know, pomp, spectacular, multi-layered, you know. And this probably goes, I watched Muse twice, and I remember one fine day when I went to watch them in Montpellier in France. And this is the final song they play on the, and there's a middle part when just everybody goes headbanging. You know the bit in Bohemian Rhapsody, the last bit when people started. There's a part when just everybody freaks out. And till this day, when I listen to this song, you just want to headbang. And you know, it's good memories again. REM, Muse. Mm-hmm. You know, they're pompous and all that, but they're a really good, straight out rock band. And I don't make them like that anymore.
Oh, but do they still tour? Do you still get to see these sorts of bands?
Yeah, sometimes they do tour. The last album or two were not great, but Knights of Cydonia is just, you can't get more rock than this. And I'm deep down, you know, I'm
a closet rock fan.
I'm 50 years old, so you know.
You can do what you like now, 50 is the new 30, by the way, because, just saying. So, Knights of Cydonia, and this is their track, Muse. We're actually going to listen to a portion of it, because this is quite a long one as well.
Oh, come on.
I gave in on Knights of Cydonia, but I can't give in on Guns N' Roses Estranged, because that's a very long song.
No, yeah, you can't. Again, you know, the 90s belong to Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, now him I could look at, you see. Him I was quite happy to watch.
He could sing. I mean, he was a complete dickhead, but I mean, he was a good singer, I would slash. And again, it's strange for me. When there's a multi-layered song of, you know, when a song starts off slow, goes into rock, does the piano solo bit in the end, obviously that's very much my Queen influence. But I remember listening to the song. At the time, everybody listened to November Rain, but this was my song. And again, the 90s, you know, at the time I was in my 20s, you know, moving out, staying with friends, you know, independence, and it was a great period of my life. And this was a time when you used to literally just get the boys over home and just listen to it as we used to at the time, and just end up headbanging in my bedroom with a bottle of chisk, you know.
There you go. It's a bit like going to work on a normal day just without the chisk, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Now you just
headbanging. That's exactly how I feel. Yeah.
So we're going to go for a bit of this estranged Guns N' Roses, Take You Back to Your Youth.
You're talking to yourself, and nobody's home. Caring for yourself, if you're in this world alone.
You were quite specific about the version of the next song, which is I've Been Losing You. You wanted the MTV unplugged version of
yes.
this. What's the difference? This is an a-ha song, which is...
Again, it was probably a guilty pleasure, you know. It's a-ha was the male pop group that most men loved but wouldn't admit it in the 80s. Simply because, you know, at the time especially, it was, you know, it was just a girls group. But they weren't. They were a really good band. Mm. And Morten Harkett has a very, very good voice. Why I specifically chose the song is that I remember, I think I was at the office, actually, and somebody told me, have you listened to this? And it just made me go back to how I used to admire this band, but in reality, how beautiful this guy's voice still is. And he's got this singer with him, and the duet works so beautifully. And it just shows you that, you know, how we're, you know, past the sell-by date, but some of these bands still have it. Mm. And when you see this guy who is probably late 50s probably now, you know, resurrecting a song, a very good tune, again, which reminds me probably of my sixth form days late sixth form days, and reinventing it and, you know, making somebody fall in love with that period again. This is why I chose the MTV Unplugged version.
Excellent. So we are going to listen to that, because I do like a bit of Morten as well. So we're going to listen to the whole version of that. And then we're already on to your last song, which is an incredible journey so far. Mm-hmm. But let's listen to a-ha first.
Colors of your eyes, putting the gun down on the bedside table. I must have realized it wasn't the rain that made the difference. I could have sworn it wasn't me, yet I did it all so coldly, almost slowly, playing for all to see.
Now, this is Heru Murta.
Heru Murta.
Aldimeola.
Aldimeola. He's a jazz guitarist.
Okay.
I know I wasn't meant to be playing jazz and all that.
No, you can play anything you like.
But Aldimeola is one of those artists, again, that you know I grew up with. My brother used to play Aldimeola at home. You know, this jazz fusion, he always, you know, played around with this rock, him being a good, very good guitarist. But he got me to fall in love with jazz, in reality. And this particular track comes from a beautiful album called Heart of the Immigrants. I believe it was in 1994 that it came out. And I remember Aldimeola came to Malta that year, played at the Malta Jazz Festival, and there was this beautiful moment where I remember he got on stage ridiculously late. It was about midnight and people started going home to sleep. Mm. And then when he got on stage and, you know, he passed this comment about playing in the Bastions and how beautiful that playing in a postcard, I remember saying. And he sat down and played this song, and there's this haunting voice of his percussionist. And it's a very simple song in reality, it's just percussionist and him with his guitar. And there are a few moments in, you know, I've watched a lot of my bands. I think I've watched all my favorite bands, bar
really
probably Bruce Springsteen. And that's, well, we'll get to that, at least he's still around. But I mean, there was a moment, this is one moment where you just remember sitting down at Tully's in Valletta and listening to this piece of magic.
Just, and you can imagine actually, because I did look this one up and watch the video of it. And yeah, I think this is going to be such a beautiful song to fade out on.
I mean, it's a bit different to Estranged and going to Muse, isn't it? But I mean,
but it's nice. That's the whole point of this program, is to take people on journeys with people that we may have heard of or may just have interesting music taste.
Yeah.
So,
well, I wouldn't say I'm the kind of go for the kind of popular thing, but I've got some of the popular songs there. You know, Guns N' Roses and Muse are popular at the end of the day.
Well, you most of the bands may have heard of or may have seen in something, but again, still your choices are still quite obscure, I would say, in terms of.
Oh, yes,
of
I mean, if you. I actually came here with my 10 real favorite songs. I mean, you'd have people switching off within a minute. There's some really obscure stuff. You're not going to play Bowie's Low on.
Well, yeah. We've had some quite interesting music on this thing, but I'm sure this could very well be my last season.
Okay, good luck then.
We'll see. But we're going out on a high, but a very chilled song. Thank you so much for joining me, Herman Greck from The Times. This is Heru Murta, Aldimeola.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed visiting Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and this week's guest. Tune in next week for more.